It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall. And now your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We are recording this program on Thursday, August 18th. It's at 10:37 in the morning, and we are going to have a lot of things to talk about today. Cecilia Dobbs-Walton is the city's public affairs specialist. You're not the manager, you're the specialist. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. And I wouldn't want the manager job. You can have it.
So what's it like being a specialist?
It's special.
Well, you've got a couple of things. Just give us the topics, and then we're going to get to our special guests.
Sure. MDOT is going to be doing some road closures coming up next week. Lanes next week. And we're going to have our fire volunteers are planning a trip to Louisiana for some relief help.
We're going to have details on that in a minute. But, Cecilia, we both watch the news a lot, and we have to deal with the questions and so forth. And one of the things that we've been having swirling in the news for, a few weeks now, is the mayor's idea or the mayor's nominee for his new chief administrative officer. And so that's one of the things we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to actually welcome in that person. And we're going to talk about the city budget, too, and the challenges that that we're facing with that. I should say the mayor and city council are. Do you think, I'm going to let you introduce this person, if you think they're qualified to be on our show.
Yeah, I'm definitely qualified to be on a show. It's our council member, Paul Tisdale. He's here to talk a little bit about, like Vincent said, a little bit different information. Let him introduce, and he'll tell you a little bit about what he's going to talk about.
Paul, welcome to our program. Honored to have you here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here, I think.
Paul, one of the big things that y'all have been dealing with, and we'll talk about, we'll probably touch on everything before we wrap up this 8-minute program today. I'm setting a deadline. The budget, tell people how that process works and what the timetable is generally and what your big challenges are, you and your other council members.
Well, thank you, Vincent. What we've done to this point, I've been sitting on the budget meetings, and the mayor has met with the directors for each department for a first look at their budgets and proposed budgets, and he will meet with them again for a second round concerning their proposed department budgets. And please just make note that the figures that are going to be tossed around this morning are preliminary. The final figures will be what the council adopts in early September. So the numbers could be a little greater or a little less. So they're subject to change. Again, we still don't have the revenue figures for August and September. But here's what we know so far. There are three topics that were covered at the council's workshop this past Tuesday morning: revenue, insurance, and capital projects. The revenue for fiscal year 17 will be about, fiscal year 16 will be about $57,600,000. The projected revenue for fiscal year 17 is almost the same, about, at this point, $57,300,000. Now, the reason that the projected revenue for fiscal year 16 is a bit short is due to the gaming revenue shortfall. And the explanation for that most likely is the impact of the Scarlet Pearl Casino.
You're kidding.
In other words, I think the market has been cannibalized a little. I don't know that that has brought in significantly more visitors for that industry. So our revenue's down about $1.1 million there.
Now, by the way, when we talk about $1.1 million, and yes, I'm throwing you a curveball, we're talking about what's the total figure on gaming revenue? In some years it was like 20 and sometimes a little bit over 20. Where are we now?
Well, you have two gaming revenue sources. One is the gaming revenue itself, and the other is based on the licenses for the devices in these establishments. And the projection for this current year was about almost $20 million for both of those categories, $19.9 million. And it's actually come in at about it's projected to be $19 million next year. So we're down about $1 million from that, from $19.9 to about $18.9. Mm-hmm. So relatively speaking, you know, best case scenario is it would have been level, but in fact it's gone down $1 million. And again, we think that's due to the Scarlet Pearl Casino opening. So having said that, in looking at ad valorem for next year, we anticipate that going up about $1 million. That's one of the three main sources.
I hate the word ad valorem.
Property tax.
Thank you.
Property tax. We anticipate that'll go up about $1 million next year. Gaming and devices, as I said a moment ago, we expect that to go down about $900,000. Sales tax revenue, we expect to be relatively flat, maybe go up $200,000. So when you look at where we're projected to finish this year, $57.6 million, and where we're looking to be next year in revenue is about $57.3 million. So it's relatively flat. The next item that came up was insurance. And if all the insurance remains the same for next year.
And we're talking about car insurance, right?
Obviously not, Vincent. We're talking about health insurance, dental insurance, and medical claims for the employees. And it's important to remember that the city employees, as part of their benefits, they receive their insurance, their health insurance at no cost. If they want to add their family, then the employee pays $50 per month for their family members, regardless of the number of those family members. Health insurance is projected to go up $24,000. Dental insurance is expected to go up $24,000. Medical claims up about $160,000.
We're getting lost in the weeds here. All right, when we've gone up on insurance.
So it's going up.
Yeah, it's going up, but
right.
I mean,
the question, I don't have it in percentages, okay. But the question is, what can you do? Because it's important to remember when we talk about the employees in the city, the employees and the city are the insurance company. So this year our claims have exceeded our revenue and contributions.
And what you mean by that is we are self-insured. And what that means is that these insurance companies give us a ballpark figure on what our history has been on claims, and then the city puts that money aside?
That's in fact what happens, and hopefully the city puts enough money aside. But of course you can't project or predict the number of claims that might be filed.
At 30,000 feet, looking down, as I was driving in for this broadcast, I see a lot of healthy development. I see businesses growing just along on the beach. Will that not affect and impact next year? And do you not see that growth happening?
Well, it will, and I think that's going to be reflected to some degree in property tax and to some degree in the sales tax. So you'll see some growth there, and that's why I think you see sales tax going up. Couple of $100,000, I believe, because of that. Going back to insurance, though, because I'm not an insurance guy, but I asked, what is the per member per month figure in terms of claims, and where should it be? Currently, that figure is about $343 per member. That's the employee and their family per month. Ideally, or in a safely speaking, it would be better if that figure was between $270,000 and $290,000 per member per month. Mm-hmm. So what that means is the claims are coming in at a greater rate than the revenue we're taking in from the city and the employee contributions.
Gotcha. And my understanding is for every employee, it's about $7,000 that it costs the city for that policy. And for a family, I understand the cost is about $12,000 to $13,000. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, Cecilia. Anyway, Paul, I'm sorry. Go ahead. The budget is going to be $57.2 million. Our biggest revenue streams, as always, are the gaming revenue, followed by the sales tax revenue, followed by the property taxes. And the other thing y'all talked about in your initial session was the employee insurance and the costs we have there. What else?
The third item that was covered was capital projects, and currently these are projects already underway. Most of them are multi-year projects. We have five associated with Pops Ferry Road, Cedar Lake East to Lammy Road. There's the submarine power cable that goes under the Pops Ferry Bridge there along the bay to North Biloxi. That's been on the books, I understand, for quite a while.
Quite a while, and I have no idea why we don't call it the underwater cable.
I like submarine, though.
We've got the Pops Ferry Bridge from Pass Road to Riverview. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big project. The Pops Ferry Causeway Park, of course. And then the Pops Ferry Bridge, you know, new Pops Ferry Bridge that's been on the books probably for 10 years. It's multi-phase. It's multi-year. And somebody asked last night at award meeting, You know, so when is this going to be done? It could be done two councils from the sitting council today. It's just a long project and depends heavily on federal funding.
As you're looking at that to get to your next topic, but you're looking at a case of where you're going to have to relocate people. There has to be a buyout for that. There has to be the design. And the big thing we're in right now is the environmental study, which identifies any potential hazards.
That's correct. And when the question was asked, well, how long would that take? It takes as long as it takes.
What else you got?
Let's see. Hiller Park special needs playground. You've got sediment removal and canals in the Point Cadet Harbor. Sanger Theater, exterior repairs. The Keesler Gate Project. Keesler Air Force Base utility acquisition. And the Back Bay Boulevard loop. More projects may be added by the mayor. We've not discussed that yet.
And not only the mayor, but the city council members, I would think, yourself included, more on that later, but I would think each council member's probably been hearing from their constituents and, hey, I'd like for you to do this and that. So there's going to be some teeth gnashing coming up.
We prefer to refer to that as discussion, friendly discussion. As you know, the mayor has a plan. And there will be some proposed projects, I'm sure. I'm sure that the council members have some ideas on some things they'd like to be done in their ward. So said all of that to say this. You see that we're focused on current capital projects and not discussed the future capital projects that may be proposed. We've talked about insurance, and the council has an insurance committee comprised of Ms. Newman, Mr. Glavin, and Mr. Lawrence that will look at insurance options to help resolve those issues. We've talked about revenue. You know, the one big item we haven't talked about is expenditures. So we have some idea of what we're taking in. A big part of the puzzle, obviously, is how much will we have to spend, and will that number be smaller than the revenue figure?
And that's going to be where it's going to really be tough, which is something that happens every year. Give people an idea of the timeline on what's going to be happening as the budget process moves forward, because y'all have to have this thing in place mid-September, so go ahead.
I don't have a budget timeline in front of me, but what I do know is we've got to have a public hearing for the public to comment. I know we'll have a series of workshops with the council, several more. The next one is 10:30 Monday morning. And I know that the budget will have to be approved and in Jackson by the middle of September. Still, a few things we hadn't talked about that are kind of out there. Number one, water rates. Remember, they went up a little bit. Mm-hmm. We wanted to see how much revenue would be generated to see if we're actually covering the cost of the city.
Which is all we want to do, right?
It's like a business. We want the water and sewage, those fees, to cover the cost of that. Currently, some of that's coming out of the general fund. And also garbage rates. It costs the city a little over $15 per household. We approved a rate increase that brought that up to $12.50 per household. We may revisit that because, again, that difference between $15 and $2.50 is coming out of the general fund.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Paul, let's wrap up budget because I want to talk about something else. What else you got?
That's it. I'm curious to see what else you want to talk about.
Well, I want to talk about the news du jour, just ever so briefly. Mayor Gilich came, I think he probably pretty much knocked you back a little bit whenever he floated this idea of Paul Tisdale. I think you'd be a good chief administrative officer. Give some people some insight into how this thing has worked so far, as much as you want to.
Sure. June 20th was a Monday before our June 21st council meeting, and that's my daughter-in-law's birthday. That's why I remember the date. I was speaking with David Nichols, just covering some items that were coming up on the following day's agenda, and the mayor said, let me talk to you for a moment before I left, and I did, and he covered a couple of things, and then he said, basically said, look, David Nichols is going to be leaving. He said, that's going to break in a moment. He's going to be going to the Biloxi School District. As their personnel director, I'd like for you to be the next CAO. Well, I was chewing gum and almost choked on my gum. My first question to him, statement was, surely you have to have better candidates in mind. He said, no, you're the guy at this time to do this job. You have the credentials, you have the experience, you invest yourself in the meetings that the city conducts. You don't have to do that. And honestly, I go because I'm curious about city government. So I didn't seek this position. I said, I'll talk with my family. I'll get back to you in a few days, which I did. Now, it involves me giving up my council seat. I don't mind doing that as an administrator, and that's what I did. And some folks have said, well, you know, the school district, it's an insulated environment. The school district is just like a city, just like Keesler Air Force Base mm-hmm. is a city within a city. We have departments, the budget, the number of personnel about the same. We got all the federal rules and regs, not exactly the same, mm-hmm. but, you know, all the oversight. So I did that for 7 years, and some people would disagree that I did a good job because we had some really difficult issues to deal with. Some of those were school closings, and at the time, we couldn't afford to keep the schools open because schools are funded based on the number of students they have, and, of course, our student enrollment at that time was down as the years went by, between 20% and 30%.
And when you say they're funded by the number of students, that don't mean, that doesn't mean the local money. That means the federal government and the state send us money, in a nutshell, based on how many students we have. So the school district was looking at having far less money coming in from state and federal sources.
Right. So to make a long story short, that was a big issue. The second thing was, as the economy wound down, then state revenues, because we get state revenues, as you pointed out, mm-hmm. That dwindled. The number of students we had dwindled. And as I recall, we laid off, did not rehire, recommend about 17 to 20 teachers that had been in Biloxi for a year with Biloxi. So there was a big budget reduction caused by the reduction of student personnel. That having been said, we made some difficult decisions, and I couldn't have done that without the backing of the school board. So I'm not out there making these decisions, just like the mayor has to go to the council for approval on some things.
Okay, so the school stuff all happens and everything, and you do all that, and then you decided to retire, but you did not go quietly into the night.
Well, actually, I had time. It's either stay home and do the honey-do list or get out of the house and hang somewhere, so I started coming to council meetings about a month after I retired. After doing that for a couple of years, I'd spoken with Tom Wall. He said he wasn't running. I ran unopposed, but I came to council meetings for about 2 years just to see what was going on, and I thought, you know, it might be a little more fun being on the side of the table where you ask the questions rather than answer the questions. Mm-hmm. So I've tried to learn a lot about city government, and that's why I go to the Planning Commission meetings. That's why every once in a while I'll go to the DRC meetings. That's why I go to the Finance Department if I have questions about budget. That's why I spent a couple of years talking with the folks in insurance. That's why I'll sit down and speak with Mayor Gillich from time to time. I'm just curious about how things work, and I see that there are some improvements that could be made from the CAO perspective. And, you know, we've got an attorney general opinion that said, hey, you can serve without compensation. We have an ethics committee opinion, ethics commission opinion that says you can serve without compensation. And the thing to remember is, in all of this, if I were to be approved as CAO, we have an election coming up in the spring. We could have new council members. We could have a new member.
New mayor.
A new mayor. Regardless, with a new council and a new term, all the director recommendations have to come before the council again for confirmation. So what am I getting out of this? The opportunity to serve my committee.
Community.
Mm-hmm. Or committee.
Yeah.
That may be.
Yeah.
But having said that, explicitly no expectation for me to serve past the current term of this council. Mm-hmm. I don't mind not being paid because I have the experience and the expertise to deal with an organization this size. Quite honestly, if this doesn't work out, I'm content to be the councilman in Ward 5. But I will tell you, my observation is communication has to be better within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And running the day-to-day business and operations of the city is to keep things moving, to provide services efficiently and effectively. And sometimes you have to crack the whip, and sometimes you have to cajole, but it's all based on relationships. And I believe in laying my cards on the table. And if anybody sees me and wants to ask me a question about the CAO position, feel free to ask.
You have said something to me over the years, and you've said it to me and Cecilia here more recently.
I'm always telling you to shut up, but you won't listen.
Well, I've been listening to this whole show, service-oriented.
Well, that's the whole purpose of city government. We're to provide services. We're to provide them at a reasonable cost, and we're to provide them in a reasonably efficient and effective manner. And sometimes there are obstacles, and sometimes there are reasons why you can't do that. Mm-hmm. But the whole point is, how are you going to deliver these services in a cost-effective and efficient manner? People want their toilets to flush. They want the water to drain. They want the power bills kept low. They want you to look for options on keeping those fees low. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things that go into this. I don't pretend to have all the answers. I mean, it's an administrative team. You have directors out there running each department that are resources. You have employees who do a great job out there.
You do some changing subjects now, and I want to tell you I appreciate Cecilia and I and William appreciate you being willing to come on here and talk about this issue. You do something that is pretty good. You're my council member. You have a website that it just seems to me like you must put a lot of time into that website. Give people an idea of what they can find there and what the address is.
Yeah, the address is Tisdale4Biloxi.com. No spaces, no periods other than the .com. Tisdale4Biloxi.com. I maintain a calendar. It's nothing fancy. If there are issues that come up or are raised in my ward, an emergency usually constitutes three calls on the same topic from different people. So if people call me, I usually almost invariably return their calls within 24 hours, and I'm happy to meet them at their home, or if there's a site of concern, I'm happy to meet them at the site.
But your website's big on dashboards.
Well, I don't know that I have a dashboard there. I can't recall having one there. But all a dashboard does, it's like the dashboard on your car. There are certain indicators that you want to monitor, and you collect the data frequently, and you put it together in a form that folks can understand. The mayor has developed some dashboards, and there's one I've been using to track insurance. And basically, if you look at this dashboard for insurance with the pharma costs and medical costs, you could see that either an increase is coming in the city's contribution, or if the council decides maybe an increase to employees, or you cut back on some of the reinsurance, or you don't cover the expected costs at 100%, in which case you have to go to the general fund and pull that money out. Mm-hmm. The thing that is often lost with employees sometimes is that we're the insurance company. Every employee is an owner of this insurance company. To give you an example, medication, pharma costs. For every dollar out of pocket an employee spends, the insurance company and the city out of the general fund, all right, or money allocated to the mm-hmm. insurance mm-hmm. reserve fund, pays $9.
Whoa.
Okay. So that's a lot of money. You have low copays. So these are factors and variables that the insurance committee on the council will look at and try and jigger mm-hmm. All these combinations, all these factors, to provide the best benefits possible for the city of Biloxi, which comparatively to other mm-hmm. municipalities along the coast really has top-notch benefits.
If somebody wanted to email Paul Tisdale, I don't know why they would, but where would they email?
ptisdale1@yahoo.com. Most folks leave out the one. So if you wanted to go to Paul Tisdale, he's a soccer player in Britain, retired. I'm ptisdale1@yahoo.com.
Paul, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Vincent.
And Cecilia and William.
Yes.
And
thank William. You. Thank you very much, Paul. Very insightful.
Thank you as well. All right, I'm going to give you just a brief information about a couple of things that are coming up. MDOT is going to temporarily close lanes on I-110 starting next week. This will be north and southbound lanes of I-110 around the drawbridge area so that they can do an inspection of the span. This will be Monday, August the 22nd through Thursday, August the 25th from 8 p.m. at night to 5 a.m. in the morning. That's when work will be done, and that's when they're going to do some lane closures. And they're also going to do it the following week, Monday, August the 29th through Thursday, September the 1st. Again, 8 p.m. at night to 5 a.m. in the morning. Now, during this time, at least one lane will remain open to traffic. There'll be no work done during the morning or daytime hours, and this is to avoid peak traffic volumes. Now, all that information is on our website. We do have that on our Facebook as well, and the police have also put a few traffic signs or digital signs out there to let the public know. Also, one thing that we've also been putting out on our Facebook page as well as our city website is volunteers from the Fire Museum will be planning a relief trip next week to Louisiana. Now, this is volunteers from the West End Hose Company or the Fire Museum. They've activated their online GoFundMe account, and they're seeking donations to help with the trip. In addition to this, they are also accepting water at any of their fire stations, and then at their central station, which is located at the main office on Porter Avenue, 170 Porter Avenue, second floor of the Public Safety Building, they're taking gift cards, and all this will help, again, in the relief efforts. So if anybody's interested, they could just go to our website at biloxi.ms.us. They can go to our Facebook page, and they can go to the fire department's Facebook page and get this information.
How you think she's doing?
Very good. Very intrepid in sharing information, letting us know where to go, where not to go, and why.
Oh, she is, I'm telling you, on the ball. Anything else? Don't we have a big football game coming up? A doubleheader. It's the Shrimp Bowl. I'm going to go ahead and tell it all, Cecilia, and we'll wrap up. It's the Shrimp Bowl doubleheader, which is coming up on Friday out at the Biloxi High School campus. Tonight at 6 o'clock is going to be a pep rally. The Shrimp Bowl pep rally is going to be out at the Biloxi High campus, open to the public. You can meet the players, the coaches, hear the band, see the cheerleaders, see the dance troupe, and you can buy season tickets, too, for Biloxi High games. A lot of stuff going on, and, hey, let's all have fun. Thank you.
I want to thank our special guest, Paul Disdale, and look forward to his thoughts and insights in upcoming program. You have been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.